Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
God is speaking to us relative to biblically fueling the faith of our families. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. And this is going to be the seventh message that God has given us relative to the family. And this is going to be our concluding message. In this message, we're going to deal with an area that is a very sensitive area when it comes to family. Because sometimes this area here is the area that has caused more division, more disharmony, more destruction and family relationship than perhaps anything else. And that is money. And so we want to talk about that. We want to have the conversation, family money management. When it comes to the issue of money within families, either we're going to grow, we're going to experience gain, we're going to end up grumbling. In other words, relationships are broken, or there's going to be greed in families as it pertains to money. But God wants us to begin to look through the lens of his word and believe him. Say, believe him. Believe. See, we're not trying to say we're going to go and get our family right. That's what messed up a lot of Christians. They got saved. They want to go get their family right. The greatest weapon you got for your family is prayer. And the second one is your lifestyle witness as they observe your behavior. But I want us to talk about, because a lot of time what's happening in family systems is that we are having repeated patterns that lead to poverty. We have repeated patterns whereby people are robbing Peter to pay Paul. Now, we know that's not a financial term, but we get the message. That is when people, they solve one financial problem by creating another problem. So we call it robbing Peter to play Paul. When Peter and Paul runs out, they have what they call the Band-Aid effect. The Band-Aid effect is when families use this system of managing money whereby they just want temporary relief transferred. Not transformation, transfer. Transfer to my account. Cash App it. Zillow. Or whatever, all they're coming up with so many. Moving money around, right? The Band-Aid effect say it gives me temporary relief, and sometimes they'll go thankful, oh, God did it, God did it. But they don't change lifestyle habits. So we have what? Repeated patterns. So God has got you and I in a place whereby as we pray for our family, as we model in front of them what it looks like to walk with God, that they get to see a picture of how we manage money, how we relate to money, and how we want God to bring a kingdom principle in our families whereby we go higher in our financial matters of life. Children not coming back living off parents anymore, right? But children growing up and being a blessing to parents. So in Matthew 25, and what Jesus is teaching in the context is how we should be living while we are awaiting the return of Christ. However, in the parable, he uses a story as it relates to money. And so we're not going to take it out of context, but we're going to look at this story because in this story, Jesus teaches principles about money management. And sometimes in our family, people want more, but they don't know how to manage what they have. And sometimes in our families, it's not that they don't have enough to meet their needs. It's their wants that get them in trouble. Our family now, we're talking about family, the people that borrowed money for you and didn't pay it back, family. The people that you probably already got some issues with because somebody died and left some and they don't think the inheritance was handled properly, family. Can we be real in here? We got to have the conversation. What does Jesus do? Jesus uses this parable that gives us principles on money management. He begins in verse 14. for the kingdom of heaven. So he's explaining to them how the kingdom works. It's like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So Jesus begins this parable not focusing on the individuals who were given the resources, but he focused on the individual who owned the resources. So in our family, what we have to demonstrate in front of them, the behavior we have to let them see in our life when it comes to money matters is this, that God is first. God is first. Jesus, he talks about the owner first before he talks about what the owner did. Every Christian must come someplace on their journey where they deal with their relationship with God and their relationship with money. For some Christians, it happens immediately. When they get born again, they have such a zeal for God, they have such a love and motivation for God, that when they start getting the word of God, they are like Ezra when he found the book of the law. Immediately they start responding. They don't fight against it. They don't rebel against it. So when they start learning God's biblical insight on money and they heard about this thing called tithe, they just start doing it. For some Christians, they had to walk with God for a while. That was me. They had to slowly build themselves up to the percentage. 2%, 4%, 6%. It's all about your relationship with God. It's not about a law. It's not about religion. It's not about somebody trying to force you to do something to get right with God. You're already born again. Your tithe does not make you born again. You're born again by grace through faith, not of works. But once you come into the family of God, this is what happens. We teach people how to get saved, but we don't teach them how to live saved. We bring them into the kingdom. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus. You shall be saved. Yes, that's what the Bible says. But now somebody got to walk with them. We call it Christian discipleship. Somebody got to put up with them. Somebody got to help nourish them. See, I'm using that as a metaphor to say that we got to be willing to be patient and walk with them to disciple them. You can't disciple someone if you are already in the 10th grade and they're in the first grade and all you're doing is beating them down for first grade activity. I'm just giving us something. You got to be patient. You got to know God has called you to be there for that person. And just like somebody discipled you and was patient and loving and merciful and kind, you got to do the same thing, right? Look how Jesus dealt with those boys he was dealing with. Those guys didn't have it all together that he called to be his disciples. They arguing with one another. They competing with one another. They mama coming to Jesus. Can you make sure my son is giving all this stuff going on? So it's about your relationship with God. And the more you grow in God and the closer you get with God, you're going to find yourself surrendering areas of your life to God. Not because of what people tell you you should do, but because of your commitment and your love for God. And so Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, listen to what the scriptures say. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to the overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. You know what God just wants us to do? Is to get to the place we understand honor. To honor, to acknowledge, to respect, to trust. And that's where Christians have to realize when it comes to God being first and the money matters of our life, I have to come to terms. Am I willing to honor God? That's all. Am I willing to honor God? Some people, they know what honor means. Why? They honor certain people in their life when it comes to their money. In the Bible, a priest by the name of Eli, he honored his children above God in money matters. And God came to him. And listen to what God said to him in 1 Samuel 2:29. This is what God said to him. Wherefore kick you at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded my habitation. What are you talking about offering? He said, you disregard my offering. You dishonor me in the offering. But honor is what? Thy sons above me. That's the problem. We know how to honor people with money, especially when it comes to our children. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he said that you honor them above me. That means you're willing to do more for them than you will do for me. He was looking at his attitude and how he was going about it. And so he said, you honor your sons above me to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. What happened? You are getting fat of what belongs to me. What do you mean they're getting fat? That means you're enjoying what belongs to me. You're going on vacation with what belongs to me. You're buying houses and cars with what belongs to me. You're shopping at the mall with what belongs to me. He don't have a problem with you shopping. He don't have a problem with you enjoying vacation. He don't have a problem with you buying clothes, houses. He don't have no problem with that. But get this, when you're doing it with his, this is what our families have to see. You don't want your family to be broke all the time. You want your family always talking about, well, I know when I get old, the government, I don't want the government to take care of me. I don't want the government to put me on a system that locks me down to a set income that he controls. Called welfare. I don't want that. Now, there are people that may need that for a time, but I don't want to live in a family system where people begin to think that is normal way of living and nobody working. Nobody want to go to school. And then when one person do try to break the cycle, they get mad. Oh, you think you better than us going to that college. We got to change that dynamic of thinking in family systems. And then he goes on to say in 1 Samuel 2:30, I will honor those who honor me. Now that's God talking. See, when God put honor on your life, don't worry about the haters. Because they don't know you're honoring God with your resources. Don't worry about people getting jealous. And get this now, sometimes people think you're doing something wrong or illegal. I'm just honoring God. If I honor God with the chiefest that belonged to him, guess what he said? He will honor me, and get this, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. See, what happened to the prosperity gospel, they didn't teach people this stuff. They just hyped them up, emotionalized them, talk about all their stuff they got dangling in front of them, and people start running. Ain't got no love, ain't got no mercy, ain't got no kindness. Just arrogant, conceited, and prideful, and boasting about their prosperity, and disconnect from their families. Leviticus 27 and 30. He said, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed or of the land, of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. When you offer it up to God, he said, it becomes something that's holy to him. So when I honor him with the tithe, you know what it becomes? It's holy unto the Lord. Jesus had to deal with those Pharisees, those religious. It's hard for me to deal with religious people now. I can deal with tax collectors and whatever people, those kind of people. But when it comes to religious folk who have a form of godliness and deny the power and got all their outward showing, like they all religious or pious, bound in traditions of men and won't even change for the word of God, they're difficult to deal with. For somebody that's looking in line with the word of God. So Jesus had the same problem. In Matthew 23, if you read that on your own time, you're going to be saying, whoa, 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 because you're going to hear all them woes. So in Matthew 23:23, listen to what Jesus said. And this should settle people talking about tithes, Old Testament and all that. But listen to what Jesus said. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees. What do you call them? Hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise in common and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. What Jesus is doing, bringing balance to these guys. He said, you're so strict in carrying out these particular practices in the church, disciplines in the church, but you ain't got no mercy. You ain't got no justice. You ain't got no faith. Now let's get the last part. These you ought to have done. But here's his problem. Without leaving the others undone. In other words, Jesus said, you should be doing all of this, but you're only doing the first part, and you're forgetting to deal with justice and mercy and faith. The only way you're going to be able to do this is when we get to the place where we ask ourselves, who is the owner? You got to come to that term in your life. Who is the owner? That means it changes your whole attitude and perspective with money. Who is the owner? Take, for example, a man comes and he's so generous. He wants to show it. He got a lot of wealth. He comes, he gives this man $10,000. He knocks on his door, $10,000. I'm just being generous. And I thought about you. And you're in my neighborhood. And I want to give you $10,000. Can you imagine how that man in that neighborhood is going to be so excited? I didn't work to earn it. It's just a person being generous. And they want to share it with me. So he gives him $10,000. And then when the person get back and start looking at his books and managing his affairs, he realized that he miscalculated something and he really intended to give him $9,000. So he come back to the man, knocks at his door. The man opens the door and he lets him know, I made a mistake in balancing my books. I thought I could give you $10,000, but my books reveal I should have given you $9,000. In order to balance my books, can I get $1,000 back from the 10 I just gave you? What would you do if somebody did that to you? And they come back and say, I made a mistake. You keep the 9. Just give me $1,000 back so I can balance the book. Most of us will be glad to give him the 1,000 back. Because we are looking at the 9 that he owned anyway. So what God has said, I give you the whole thing. And I just ask you to give me a tenth. And if you realize that I own it all, you got it. It's simple. He owns it all. That's why he don't allow us to take it back to heaven with us. We leave it here. Psalms 24:1, listen what the scripture says. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's simple. The way I approach money is that God owns it all because he owns me. I'm God's property. And that's a good thing. That if anybody mess with God's property, God's got something to deal with them about. And we love to get our shirt. I'm God's property. Well, how much of your property is God's property? All of it. So Jesus opened the parable talking about the owner. In verse 15, he said to one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to each according to his own what? Ability. And immediately he went on his journey. Now, he gives them 5, 2, and 1, but he gives it to them wisely because he know who can handle what. Parents, be careful how you leave some to someone who can't handle it. The Bible teaches this principle that when it comes to money, we have to practice planning and patience. Now, that bothers some people. Planning and patience. Those are biblical principles that God gives us as it relates to money. In other words, in Luke 4:28, listen what the Bible says. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? We got to embrace planning and patience. Sometimes we don't want to sit down and plan because the numbers may not balance out. So we try to block it out. And sometimes when we work with our families and we want to sit down and talk about planning, they get offended. Why you got to go through all that? Because they just want you to transfer. They don't want to be transformed. They don't want you to start holding them accountable. They don't want you to be able to say, well, if I help you this month, what's going to happen next month? Is anything different going to be done? If not, you're going to repeat next month. So let me help you to be able to sit down and see what we need to do so you won't continue to repeat the pattern of mismanagement. Amen. Another thing about planning is in Proverbs 6:6-8. God used the ant. He said, go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. What the ant does? The ant know how to balance things out. Get this. The ant doesn't eat it all up at one time. Spreads it out. Why? Because they know winter and summer is coming. In Proverbs 21 and 5, it said, good planning and hard works lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Sometimes our family loves shortcuts. They don't want to plan. They just want to get a hookup. Want to take shortcuts. Some people don't want to work, but they will work getting money to go get the scratch off. Shortcuts. The owner distributes based on their ability to manage. He don't try to get it up. We want to treat everybody fair. Everybody get five. Everybody. No. He said, I'll give one five, one two, and one one. Because he knew something. They had the ability to do something with it. And they did, because if you look at verse 16, it said, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. But after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. God didn't know. They didn't know when he was going to come back. But they knew he was planning on coming back. Waiting on a return. So what did perhaps these individuals do when it came to causing their money to increase? There are principles that the Bible teaches that we should have when it comes to money management. And the first one is this. We got to learn how to budget. We call it living within your means. We got to learn how to budget. Now, you all know this stuff, but we have to hear it. Budgeting simply means I got to identify my needs and my wants. Now, I want to say to Christians, God promised to meet our needs, supply our needs. It's when we get to the wants that we got to make sure we budget to qualify the wants. There's nothing wrong with wants, but I don't want to have wants being taken care of and I'm not honoring God. Budgeting means needs versus wants. Get this, input and output. It's simple. How much do I bring in? How much am I sending out? Look at the bottom number. Income, expenses, that's what we call it. And I call this training versus transferring. In other words, we got to train our children. We got to train our children on how to be good stewards rather than always transferring. Why? Because the owner had to leave, and we're going to leave here one day. And if they don't know these basic things, you can leave them all you want. It's going to last for a short time because they never learn how to manage it. When it comes to the managing, we got to create this thing called savings. And sometimes people think like this, well, when I get a lot, I'm going to save. No, it doesn't work like that. This is how the brain works. It works off the small amount. Amen. It's creating a habit in the brain that if I can put aside $10 and don't mess with it, and then I can put aside another 10, I'm training my brain. Sometimes we start teaching on faith and stuff. You hear stuff like, well, you got a plan for a rainy day. That doesn't mean you're walking in fear. That means you're having wisdom. That stuff will break down. These are things that we got to teach in our families. We got to train our children about savings. We got to teach them about controlling debt. Notice I used the word controlling debt. But we got to look at, look, how can I make sure that I'm controlling debt? Proverbs 22 and 7 say, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Psalm 37:21, it said, the wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. I was just sharing with someone. I said, let me tell you something. When you go out into the world financial institutions, they don't know you. They ask for your name, but then they ask for your social security number so they can check out something about your character. It's called a credit report. And what they want to know, do you pay back people? And it's sad when preachers' credit so messed up that they got to borrow the members' credit to get some. Can you imagine? Here you are, the man of God, a woman of God, and all of a sudden you talking to the banker and they look at your credit report and look at you. We got to start telling people what? It doesn't go away because you take the bill and get mad at the people talking about why they sending me, because you owe them money. I'll send you a letter too. Certified. Romans 13:8 say, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For we who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. So what I'm saying, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but I'm saying we got to start changing our family systems on how they relate to money. We got to start praying. We got to start practicing it in front of them. We got to train our children. We got to train people in our family who we've been sending money to all the time, and it keep being a repeated pattern. We don't need to get mad at them, keep telling them, I'm broke, I ain't got nothing, lying. We got to get them educated. We got to get them connected to the right resources so they can start learning these things. Why? Because every generation should go higher. You want your children to grow up and do better than you in life. So two of them did well. They got commended. They got encouraged. They got promoted. I mean, get this. The owner is excited. Why? It's a win-win. But there's always one fella. And here he goes and began to make excuses. The fact that he gave them according to ability means that the man did have the ability to do some with the one. And he didn't even exercise his ability. Why? Because of his attitude toward the owner. Start putting his mouth on the owner. All this negative stuff about the owner. It's not about the owner. The owner blessed you to have it. My last one is this. We got to teach our families how to make wise investments. We got to teach them how to make wise investments. Now, I use the word wise investment. In other words, make your money make money. We live on a world system that love to charge interest. And they like for you to have a bad credit report because it justifies them now charging you more interest. And so we got this fellow here who took the money and decided to do nothing with it. It's almost like the days when they would put the money under the mattress. Sometimes when people that's elderly die, people want to go in the house looking for hidden money. But when you put money under the mattress, guess what? It doesn't reproduce after this kind. Somebody said to him in verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Boy, sometimes when you be transparent with people, they get offended. When you tell them the truth about themselves, they get offended. He called them wicked and lazy. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered. In other words, it's not about me. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. Another translation renders this, you should have at least put my money in a savings account, suggesting that there were other means of investments that you could have used to have been of greater benefit. And sometimes we got money in accounts that's producing little or no interest. And sometimes we need to wake up talking about I got all this money in the savings in the bank and start thinking, now if I take that same money and invest it in stocks and mutual funds and bonds, it will produce an abundance of interest, of increase. And so we got to be able to operate with wise investments, wise investments. Our families need to be educated and taught about ways to take money and use it so that it can make money. And I don't want nobody to get discouraged. Like, I already messed up everything. God can show you. That's why he got you listening to this. Amen. We got to begin to ask ourselves, am I operating with biblical principles as it comes to money matters in my life? He rebukes this last guy because he did not act responsibly with his resources.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. We're located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries. Thank you.